to think that they are part of what God is doing. And so it's a continuation. I don't want us to see sometimes that we have this thing in here, in this space, they do their things, and there's nothing that connects between us. So maybe it's just that I'm a big kid at heart, but I just love stories. I'm more interested in hearing somebody's story than I am in hearing a deep theological argument that I get at Kerry. So what today is going to be is going to be a story, because unlike my little other Bible, this one to me is just an amazing story. It's a story about God's love for his people. It's a story about individuals. It's a story about a group of people. And it's a story that doesn't actually finish, because if there was, a second chapter, second book, it would have your story in it, it would have my story in it, and it would have others to come. So this morning, I need us to engage with a few things. And it is a story, and I've put a really, really deep title, Something and Something, because it's going to be about people. And I want you to think who you can fill in these gaps. So you'd be yourself, putting your name in there, Ben, for me, and as this message goes on, hopefully you'll realize that you can add someone to the end of that. So whoever you are, Bruce and whoever. Now, we do know that there are certain people or certain characters in this world that go together. Okay? So we have here, sorry, the cartoon versions, we have here Batman. And if I said Batman, although some of you would probably say no, that he should be by himself because the person that goes with him doesn't really help. But Batman and... Batman and Robin, okay? They go together. Somebody has knows it. So for those of you that don't know Star Wars, we'll pray for you afterwards. No, for those of you that don't know Star Wars, Han Solo and Chewbacca, okay, the big hairy guy that makes funny noises, which I'm not going to try. And those two go together. We won't talk about, episode 8, and now that things might have changed. But I want to tell you a story about two other characters. And obviously, one of them's me, and the other one is, apart from Catherine, obviously, my best friend. Now, I asked him if I could tell a story about him, and he said, on one condition, that I told everyone how good he is. And actually, I probably would have, but you'll understand afterwards. So I've got three things here, because so often, again, a little sidetrack, so often we do all these funny things for the kids, and then for us, we just have somebody stand up at the front and talk. So I'm not going to do that. I want to have some things. These things remind me of my best mate, Kieran. Now, Scott would probably be able to tell you how to use this better than me, because I used to bat way down the order, often number 11. So, my friend who I have known now for over a third of a century, we've been mates for over a third of a century. I met him when I was about 10 at primary school, and we started playing soccer together. And I do have my soccer boots in here, but I'll leave them in there because they're filthy dirty because I played yesterday. And when we were 10, without trying to sound arrogant, I was better than him. I was better than him at soccer. That lasted for about a year. He is one of these people that you hate, because he's just good at everything. But on the other hand, you can't hate him because he's a nice guy as well. So it's really annoying. So anyway, he was very, very good at cricket. Very good. Played for Cornwall Prems. Would have been up there with about Scott's level. And I remember one day he was in the top team and I was in the second team. We were, how old would we have been? About 16, maybe? And his team weren't playing. So he came down, dropped down and played for us. Now, I'm enjoying telling this story because it's one time I did better than him. So he went out to bat and got half a dozen runs or something. My highest score ever was like 32. That's why I batted number 11. But on this occasion, I was batting a little bit higher, and I went out, it was over two Saturdays, went out, got some runs, and then that was the end of the first day, and we went back the next week, and I ended up scoring 100. Only 100 I've ever scored, and as my friend regularly reminds me, he goes, it's the ugliest 100 he has ever seen, you know, it's like, boom, over top of the slips, down for four, boom, inside edge, down past third man for four runs. But it was irrelevant. I scored 100, he scored like 8. And I let him know that for the rest of the week. But his friendship grew. Now, this friend of mine, we used to do things together. He lived down the road, and I'd regularly go around to his house, because he was right next door to a big park, and we'd go there. One of the other things that reminds me about his house is he had this fantastic mandarin tree. I remember once his mother telling me off because I basically stripped the whole tree and just sat there and ate mandarins for the whole thing. But, you know, sport, mandarins, just hanging out. How on earth does that relate to what's going on? Well, our life is sometimes not an hour on a Sunday. It's what we do in the week. And as a young guy, I invited my best friend along to youth group. We were doing, Friday evening activities like lots of people do. And so he came for two reasons, and you could probably guess what those two reasons were. Firstly, because he came to have some fun, because we were doing something like ice skating or whatever. And the other reason that lots of guys come to youth group, he came for the girls. Interestingly, his family, one of his parents had grown up going to church, but now none of them went, so he didn't have anything to do with it. And yet, after a number of activities, his parents said to him, look, if you're going to the social activities, you need to go to the other stuff as well. They still wouldn't step foot in church. So he came along, and a few years later, ironically, I would say he became a Christian before I did. And he's never looked back. His life radically changed. Over in a way, because of a cricket ball, because of a cricket ball and a soccer ball, because that relationship that we had changed his life, because now he was coming with me to youth group, he became a Christian and has radically changed. Now, I'd like to claim some responsibility for that, but obviously it was just, I just wanted to hang out with my mate. But years later, and this is the part that I asked him I could share. Years later, he'd been going out with this girl for about 18 months. Early 20s, maybe 20. And he'd broken up with her. And he hadn't broken up that long ago. And he went to an Easter camp. He came back from that Easter camp and he said, I've met this girl. This new girl, he goes, I've met this girl. And he goes, and I don't want to stuff this up. He goes, I want you to tell me all my bad points so I can tell her. And I went, right, let me give it to you. And I proceeded to go, you're arrogant, you're cocky, you sometimes do things and just make people feel really insecure. You're so confident and so loud that sometimes people just don't want to argue with you or disagree with you. And he just sat there and he took it all. About, it wasn't that long later, maybe again about another 18 months, I was the best man at his wedding. And then another period of time passes, and Sarah, his wife, who was obviously the young lady that he had fallen for at Easter camp, came to me and said, Kieran said a list of things that his bad points that you told him. She goes, but you didn't tell me one thing. And I'm thinking, oh, what didn't say? She goes, he jiggles. That really annoys me, and you didn't tell me. But that was it. And it hit me later on that not only was my best mate willing for me to identify his, some of the challenges he had, but he actually took it on board and shared it with this young lady. Because for him, she was something special, and he didn't want to stuff it up. He wanted to make sure that things would carry on. They now have three beautiful children. One of them is about to finish high school this year and maybe go into the States to go to university. He wisely hasn't asked me for his advice on those things because my kids are a little bit younger. But his faith has been a massive encouragement to me over my life. His life has been something that has taught me. In many ways, dare I say it, his life has taught me more than some of the characters in the Bible. Because sometimes I read from these wonderful heroes of the Bible and I struggle with how do I put that into today. But there's one character in the Bible who's pretty special for me. And I want to share a little bit about that today. It's not just stories. This is another story. And again, for those of you that have little kids, you'll know VeggieTales. And so this is David and... Yes, now, I did that on purpose. It is not Dave and the Giant Pickle. And it is not David and Goliath, because that's what the picture is. But David and Jonathan, we know about David and Goliath, most of us, but we sometimes forget about Jonathan. Jonathan's pretty special for me, obviously. It's one of the reasons we called our son Jonathan. Is because he, in a way, is a bit of a hero of mine out of the Bible. So, David and Jonathan. And is Jonathan a hero, or is Jonathan just a sidekick? Is he the Robin to David being Batman? Or is Jonathan a hero? Let me go way, way back and read to you from 1 Samuel. So 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 to 4 goes, after David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off his robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword and his bow and his belt. So this is, pardon me, this is just after David has defeated Goliath. So David, this shepherd boy, has become the hero because he's killed Goliath, he's encouraged the Israeli army, and they've gone and taken out the Philistines. They've gone, our hero, Goliath, and they've run away. Jonathan was there. Jonathan was one of those people that was there and would have seen, we assume, would have seen what David had done. The interesting thing is that David wasn't the only person to have, in a way, defeated the Philistines. Jonathan did it as well. Jonathan had done it previously. You see, Jonathan had done it when he went with his sword bearer, and they went in a previous time. They'd gone up and they'd attacked the Philistines. David had killed 20 Philistine soldiers, and the Philistine soldiers had gone, this is strange, what's going on? They'd run away, and the armies of Israel had gone, ooh, they're panicking, let's take them out too. So Jonathan was this hero. But here, in this part, for some reason, Jonathan had lost his faith, lost his boldness, he was scared, he didn't do it. And it was David who had encouraged him. You know, this is a deep friendship that grew from this point on. I will not compare my friendship with my friend Kieran to David and Jonathan. But you may have friends, pardon me, you may have friends that you have that are like a Jonathan for you or a David for you, that encourage you. Even when you have done something and then you fall back and you doubt that God can do things. Jonathan was encouraged by David, but he made a commitment to David. And he loved David. This is the passage that we had read this morning. While David was at Horesh, in the desert of Ziph, if I've pronounced that right, he learned that Saul had come to take his life. And Saul's son, Jonathan, went to David at Horesh and helped him to find strength in God. Don't be afraid, he said. My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You shall be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this. The two of them made a covenant before the Lord. Then Jonathan went home, but David remained at Horesh. When I started preparing this, I wanted to talk about this wonderful friendship between David and Jonathan. This amazing person, David, and this wonderful person, Jonathan, and how they encourage each other. But I forgot something really important. Who is Jonathan? Jonathan is the son of Saul. Jonathan's going to be king. Jonathan is going to be king. And yet we've already read that he took off his robe, he took off his belt and sword and gave it to David. That is an act of humility because he is giving what is his royalty to someone that is just a shepherd boy. Okay? He is nothing more special than any of us. David is not some amazing Batman, Superman, whatever. David is just a shepherd boy. And yet, Jonathan has put his robe on him. In a way, making him equal. Making him a son of Saul. In a way. How can he do that? And now we've just read that he now knows that he, who was meant to be king, Jonathan was meant to be king, has now said, I'm not going to be king, you are going to be king. I don't know about you, but even with my best friend, there have been times where I didn't want him to succeed because I wanted to succeed. I didn't want him to succeed. He's always succeeding. Why can't I be first? Why can't I get this? I don't know what I would have done if I was to be king and my friend turns up here. Do I rejoice that he is now going to be king and I am going to be under him? I don't know if I can honestly say that. And yet here we have Jonathan doing that. We have Jonathan saying, you are going to be king and I am going to be your number two. And we know that half of that came true. David did become king. Jonathan, if I told you the whole story, Jonathan had saved David's life. He went and spoke to Saul, and then he, through various events, told David, you need to get out of here because my father is going to try and kill you, but I'm not going to let it happen. And you can read that through Samuel. But Jonathan was killed. He never became king. David became king. He never became king. He never became number two, in a way, to David, because he was killed. So that was going to be nearly the end of my message. Short, sharp, to the point, hopefully. And then I thought about it some more. And I thought, okay, Jonathan gave his robe to David. And although we want to take the story of Jonathan and David for what it is and be grateful for it, there is another story that just blows that one out of the water. And that's the story of the ultimate king coming down and, in a way, taking his robe off and giving his robe to you and to me and saying, you are going to be sons and daughters of the king. That you are no longer going to be my servant, my slave, you are going to be my friends, and you are going to be with me in relationship with God. That we can be number two, so to speak. But even more than number two, we're brothers and sisters with Christ. Humility? Jonathan displayed a lot of it. Humility? Christ just blows that out of the water. I don't know. It just blows my mind when I try and think of it. I have some candles. And what I would like you to do, we're not going to start a fire. I would like you to take one, if you want, and pass it around while I carry on talking. But what you're going to be doing, before you pass it, sorry, just hold on for a second. I want you to think about this when you take your candle. Because what you're going to do, sometime, if you want, this week, is you're going to take time, find some space to yourself, and light a candle, not your fingers, and light your candle. And in the space of wherever you may be, at home, I want you to think of that person in your life. It may be your husband or your wife. It may be a friend. It may be one of your children that have encouraged you, that have strengthened you. And I want you to pray for them while that candle burns. I want you to thank God for what that person has done for you, whether that person is like a Jonathan or a David. But if you're brave enough, I want you to take two candles. And I want you to light one candle and take the other candle and give it to the person that you are praying for. And I want you to give it to them and tell them, this week, I've been really grateful for you, and I thank you for all the things that you've done, and I'm going to be praying for you this week. Can I give you this candle, and can you pray for me while I pray for you this week? Just as a reminder that we don't journey this life by ourselves, that our friends do help us, that our friends do encourage us, they challenge us, they teach us, they become our Jonathan. So, if you want a candle or two, please pass them around. Prayer is something where we talk to and commune with God. It is something, again, in a way, I find it as an act of humility that the God who created all things is willing to listen to me. I mean, we had some, I think, wonderful stories this morning when Monique talked about having time with her son. Just sitting and being with her son. And we all need that time to sit and be with others. And that other who we need to sit and be with is Christ. Because my friend Kieran, who is my best friend, who I know that whatever happened, he'd drop whatever he was doing to come and help me. He's not Christ. Okay? He points me sometimes. Sometimes. He points me to Christ. He challenges me. As a friendship, he's willing to pull me up on things that I do badly. He's willing to challenge me and say, hang on a minute, that's not right. You need to think about this. But Jonathan, David, we definitely know the story of David, he wasn't perfect. Okay? But we have him as an example for someone that we can listen to, we can learn from, and we can be encouraged to look towards Christ. So while, if I'm still going, can I pray? Father, I thank you that we have Jonathans and we have Davids even in this room. We have Jonathans and we have Davids in our lives. And sometimes we appear to be by ourselves crying out and we need someone to help us. We need someone to tell us what to do. And yet you are always there. You have demonstrated your love for us. You have demonstrated humility by coming to be in your creation. You have demonstrated your love. And you have chosen to allow us to be your son and daughter, your brother and sister in Christ. And I pray this week, if we have the opportunity, that we will enjoy spending time with you, thanking you for our friends, or even praying for a friend who will be that person to help us, because there are times in our lives when we don't have any apart from you, which we know is enough. I pray you will bless everybody here, and thank you so much for what you have given us. Amen.
That's awesome. Thanks, Ben. I've heard the story of, I've read the story.